the content is your value to God. A while ago, I was reading in Matthew, and spurred on by some verses in chapter 6 and chapter 10, I got to thinking about how God ordered the importance of his creation, all aspects of the creation, including plants, animals, and man. My whole life, I have been taught that man is God's greatest creation. I wanted to look for myself and see what God had to say about it, so I started in the very beginning, with creation, and study plants, animals, and man in the order in which they were created. Now, most of us have been taught since we were small children about the order of the days of creation. Day 1, God made light. Day 2, sea and sky. Day 3, flowers, grass, and trees. Day 4, sun, moon, and stars. Day 5, bird and fish. Day 6, man and beast. And day 7, God rested. Since my study specifically focused on living aspects of the creation, I will start with day 3. On day 3, God didn't just create flowers and grass and trees, but the different species of fruit trees, of the different species of grass, the herbs of the field, and the different flowers, the lilies, roses, and tulips. I'd like to read from Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed, according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself, according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." So God created plants to reproduce their own kind, and to be self-renewable, and he called the grass, the herbs, and the trees that were created good. He was pleased with the outcome. Matthew 6, 28 through 30 tells us that God designed the color and shape of the lily. But it's not just the lily, it's all plants. Every color, every fragrance, every leaf, every stem is a creative detail of the character of God. Day 5 begins the creation of animals, which is concluded on day 6. I'd like to read Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament and of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." These verses tell us that God created all the details of the fish and birds as uniquely and carefully as he did the plants. Each kind of fish and bird can only reproduce and recreate their own kind. I also find it a little bit interesting that this early on is where we first see the first cycle. We see the start of what the scientific world calls the food chain cycle. The plants were created first, which would allow the fish and birds later on to be able to feed and nest. I would like to read Genesis 1, 24 through 25. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." So God had already filled the sea and the skies of earth. Now he filled the forests, the desert, the fields, the jungles, the woods with animals. Most importantly, I think, when reading through this and to note here, is that man is not listed or named as one of the created beasts when the rest of the animals are created. Man is given his own verses later in Genesis chapter 1. In Matthew 21, 1 through 2, this is where Christ's entry into Jerusalem for the Passover is mentioned. Christ uses a donkey to transport himself into the holy city. An animal created by God later served God by carrying Christ into Jerusalem. We know through history and in our life today that animals are continually used to help and serve man. They have been used for transportation. They are used for food. They are such as in like the story of feeding the 5,000. They are used for sacrifices in the Old Testament. Today, people most times keep pets as either a way of life, a companion, or like service animals, like service dogs that help the blind. Real quick, I want to jump to James chapter 3 and read verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. This verse points out that man has been given the ability, the power, and the authority by God to tame and control every kind of animal. That does not mean that mankind controls every species of every kind of animal, but every kind of animal has been tamed by man, whether it be a killer whale to a teacup poodle, and everything in between. And the fact that there is current tense, is tamed, and past tense, has been tamed, means, I think, that by this time, there might have already been creatures extinct. I also find it interesting that reptile is specifically mentioned. And I believe that the greatest kind of reptile is what is nowadays called dinosaurs. So it means there may have been dinosaurs who were tamed and controlled by humans. Moving on with day 6 of creation, let's read Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. So real quick, in verse 26 it says that man is to have dominion over all the animals, as I was talking about. But what I like to focus on is that there is a plurality used in these verses. Let us make man. Us is a reference to more than one person in a group. We kind of have to do a little bit of investigating to find who this us is. First, let's state the obvious, though. God was there. All the verses really leading up to this is talking about how God's speaking and creation is being made, how he's seeing it, and how he is pleased with what he sees. So God is number one. God is uno in this us. Next, let's read Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The second being in this us is the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to go to John chapter 1. Because I think it's the easiest area to point out the next being in the us. I'm going to start in verse 1, and then I'll read John 1:14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is before me, for he was before me." So, our us is three beings. It is what we oftentimes call either the Trinity or the Godhead or even the Godhood. It is God the Father, the Spirit of God, and the Word, which is, in fact, was Christ or Jesus before he became a man and spent time on earth. We're going to keep the three theme in mind as we move forward. So let's look at a few more things we have different between animals and plants and man. Number one I like to think of is we have three components to our beings. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 3. Well, I had the wrong verse down. Anyway, the verse I'm looking for is talking about being kept perfect and made holy and with our soul, spirit, and body, all three parts. And it, with that, we have a soul which will go back to the Lord. We've got a spirit. And then after we're baptized, we also have the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. And then we have our physical body. And kind of in correlation, our physical body kind of represents Christ. He came as a man on earth, spent time, was tempted, was crucified as a man. He even called himself the Son of Man, which is, I believe, for the mankind, it's an honor to have God come down and part of God come down and become a man. Our soul will return to its Father, our Father, God. And then the Spirit and the Holy Spirit are together. God has given us multiple gifts throughout the Scriptures. One of the greatest, I believe, is His promises to mankind, such as the Canaan land in Genesis, which He promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and fulfilled by bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt with Moses leading them. Then there is the promises over and over again throughout the Old Testament of the Messiah or Savior to come, which Christ fulfilled when He came as a man, when He came that we may have a chance of eternal life. And then there is eternal life, which is a promise to us in John 3:16 as well as in other places in the New Testament. As long as we love God and serve Him in Christ, fulfilling the commandments given to us, being a light and being the salt of the earth to help preserve it for Him. There is also in that, through being able to receive the eternal life from them, I believe is a blessing that mankind has not only God, but Christ as we have Christ as a friend, but also as a brother, which you can see in different parts of Hebrews, where we are called His brethren, and we're also called sons of God if we are chastised by God, because a father chastises his son. And we will have the chance to live eternally with God, to praise Him, to worship Him as He needs to be worshipped. That's really what I have, but as we close today, If you have a need or are ready to start your relationship and friendship with God and Christ, please come forward as we sing. There are those here who are more than willing to help you and are more than willing to be your brothers and sisters in Christ.